Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning. Once again, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, in His sheer grace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the noble day of Jum'ah, the greatest day upon which the sun rises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we can spend this day in the true obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only this day, but our entire week, our entire months, years, and our lives can be spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in upholding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in carrying out the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, dear listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with immense gifts, with immense bounties, with immense favors, ni'mat upon ni'mat, bounties upon bounties, and favors upon favors. We know what is happening in other parts of this world. We know what is happening in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our Muslim brothers, make it easy for our Muslim sisters. Today we will walk to the masjid for Jummah Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us and grant us the tawfiq. But we will go for Jummah Salah with ease, with comfort, with no fear, with no worry, with no concern. But what other people are going through, what our brothers in Palestine are going through, is really, really difficult. It is really tough for them, unable to perform Salah, unable to go for the Jummah Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate all those difficulties. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause Islam to spread through the four corners of this world, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us to be a means for the spreading of Islam. This is a Friday morning, it is our normal Sahaba focus, and we have Maulana Muhammad Aku from the Darul Ulum in Newcastle. Maulana is our guest on this program, and Maulana this week will be speaking on a Sahabi, a very, very, very great Sahabi, a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Hudhafa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala an. Amazing life that he led, and his companionship with Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his services for deen, and the beautiful qualities that the Sahabi had. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anoint us and grant us those beautiful qualities. Let us listen attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our respected listeners, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for His deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Really, Sahaba radiallahu anhum made so much of qurbani for Allah's deen. As I'm studying the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we see what sacrifices they made to uplift deen, to take it to the four corners of the world. Where they came from and where they ended up, it was just selflessness. It was something really amazing. It was such heart, such concern, such pain they had for humanity. That's what drove them. That's what made them do what they actually did. Imagine Makkah Mukarrama, the blessed lands, looking at Kaaba, 100,000, looking at Kaaba, so much of thawab. Salah in front of the Kaaba, multiplied 100,000 times its fold. In Medina Munawwara, how many times repeated its fold? Looking at the Kaaba is ibadah. Who more wanted ibadah than them? But it was to save mankind from Jahannam and show mankind this road of Akhirah that drove Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take deen to the four corners of the world. Every Sahabi we learn and we study, to me, as I read about a Sahabi, I feel that this Sahabi is the greatest. And like that, every Sahabi is the best. What drove them? Among the verses of the Quran, it was this verse. Qul, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, hadihi sabili. Tell your ummah that this is my way. Such an interesting verse of the Quran. Hadihi, this way. Sabili, this is my road, this is my way. Sabili is a path. Anything you tread onto is a road, is a path, this is sabil. The path of the car is the road. The pathway of the aeroplane is in the skies. The pathway of the ship is on water. So this is Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told by Allah to tell the people, this is my way. Ad'u ila Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. I am an inviter to Allah. Ala basira, with wisdom and insight and knowledge. Now, if we're going to take that car and put it in the ocean and try and let it move, it's going to drown and everyone in there is going to die. If we're going to try and take the car and from the cliff make it fly, it's not going to be possible. Everything's going to crash. In the same way with the aeroplane on the road, everything has its path. Allah's Nabi is told by Allah to tell the people what is his path. Ad'u ila Allah, I am an inviter to Allah. with knowledge, with insight. Ana, I am an inviter. وَمَنْ اتَّبَعَنِي. And everyone who follows me are inviters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These verses of the Quran from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where they took the deen far and wide radiallahu anhum ajma'in. There was this great Sahabi, his name was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. With a dhal, not with a z, Hudhayfa, no, Hudhayfa, dhal, 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 Hudhayfa. His full name, Hudhayfa ibn Hisl, or Husayl, and his father's name was Hisl. His father's name was actually changed, because in the past, in Jahiliyyah, in his region, there was some, you know, feud, and he had caused some bloodshed. So he left there, and he went to Medina. And in Medina, he heard about Islam. When he heard about Islam in Medina Munawwara, he was so touched, and he was affected by that, and he accepted Islam. And in the early stages, he actually then came to Makkah. Sorry, he was originally from Makkah, but because of some bloodshed, he left Makkah and he went to Medina Munawwara. And there, he came into the allegiance of the Banu Abd al-Ashhal tribe. And he got married to a woman from them, and his child Hudhayfa was born. So originally he comes from Makkah, and after that they shifted to Medina Munawwara. But when Islam came into Medina Munawwara, Hudhayfa's father Hisl, who was now named Yaman, they named him Yaman, his name changed. They changed his name because the Ansar originally come from Yemen. So they named him Yaman. And now in Medina Munawwara, he also accepted Islam. And this was even before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara. So Hudhayfa's father, originally from Makkah, then in Medina, and then Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu grew up in a family and parents that were Muslim in the early stages. So even before he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a Muslim. And he always had the desire to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would ask the people in Medina, teach me about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the attributes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as soon as he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he really wanted to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father took him to Makkah to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asks Allah's Nabi, "Oh my Nabi, am I a muhajir or am I an ansari?" Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this youngster, "If you want, you can be from the muhajirin, and if you want, you can be from the ansar. You choose for yourself." He said, "Okay, O Nabi of Allah, my choice, I'll be an ansari. I'll be a helper for the deen of Allah Ta'ala." And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina Munawwara, this young sahabi, Hudhayfa bin Yaman, he was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. He stuck to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company. Historians say, like how mulazamat al-ayni li-ukhtiha, like one eye remains in the company of the other, in the same way, this young sahabi would be in Allah's Nabi's company all the time. Every expedition with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there was one great expedition that he himself did not participate in. And that was the great event of Badr. And he says, he actually explains the reason why he was not participating in Badr. He says, actually myself and my father, we were on a journey outside Medina. And the disbelievers of Quraysh coming from Makkah saw us en route. We were returning to Medina. So they captured us. They took us captive. And they said to us, "Where are you heading to?" We said, "We're going to Medina." They said, "Oh no, you're going to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." We said, "We actually heading to Medina." And we spoke the truth. We were going to Medina. We didn't know much about Badr and so forth at that time because we were out on a journey. Some trade, some work. And Abu Jahl and the others refused to release us. Then they agreed to release us and took a pledge that if you all promise not to help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against us and not fight on his side against us, then we will release you. And they released us. When we arrived, we entering Medina, and we met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were leaving for Badr. And we asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam permission to participate, but we explained the entire scenario to him, that we were captured, we were taken captive, and they released us on this pledge that we will not assist you against them in this expedition. So Allah's Nabi said, "Nafi bi ahdihim ونستعين بالله عليهم. So we must fulfill the pledge and the promise that we have taken. We do fulfill our promises and our pledges, and Allah will help us against them. Really, my respected listeners, this shows us the qualities of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That because you have given your word, now we have to stand by our word. We are Muslims, our word is very, very important to us. So this is something we need to learn from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If we gave someone our word, we have to stand by our word. We have to be amanatdar. We have to be fulfilling. We have to fulfill our pledges, our promises. And this is something we need to bring into our life. Because sadly, this is a quality that's coming out of many. Even in our deals, in our transactions, in our day-to-day livelihood, we make promises, we make appointments. We have to be there for our appointments. We have to be there for our responsibilities. This is part of deen. So even it was Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu who reports the beautiful hadith. The hadith which speaks of the day of Qiyamah. Among the signs of the day of Qiyamah is that amanat will become very, very scarce. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is the reporter of this hadith. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, the same sahabi. He says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me these hadith. Among them, he says, these two. I saw the one and I expect the other one to come. The one is that amanat, which is in the hearts of men, a time will come where it will come out of people's lives. يَنَامُ الرَّجُلُ النَّوْمَ. He will go to sleep and amanat will be removed from him. He will not have amanat dari anymore in his life. So this is something, my respected listeners, we have to be careful of. Amanat is a very, very important part of our deen and of our life. If we keep someone's trust, we keep someone's amanat, we have to fulfill it, we have to repay it. If we make a promise to someone, we have to fulfill our promise. If we have an agreement with someone, we should, you know, stand by our agreement. We should be true to our word as Muslims. Why? Because we have to be conscious of the fact that Allah is watching us. And also, our deeds will have a reflection on our deen. If we're not gonna be fulfilling to our word, then people will actually look at our deen and look at the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we mustn't be those who, through us, people misunderstand our deen and people start blaming our deen. Then what would be the case is, through our actions, we're distancing people from our beautiful deen. And then over and above that, how will we answer on the day of Qiyamah? When our deen speaks so highly of amanat, when we find incidents like this in the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That Allah's Nabi did not take Hudhayfa on this expedition of Badr in spite of the Muslims being few. Hudhayfa and his father did not participate because of the agreement that was taken with the mushrikeen. This is the beauty of Islam. This is the akhlaq of Islam. It was the time of Uhud then, not long after Badr, approximately a year later. And in this expedition, Hudhayfa participated with his father Yaman, and they made great sacrifices. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu came out safely from the battle. It was a very, very difficult battle, a lot of sacrifices, a lot of difficulties. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was badly injured in the expedition of Uhud. But the sad part is, the father of Hudhayfa, who was Yaman, he was guarding the rear end of the battle behind the Muslims, himself and Thabit bin Waqsh radiallahu anhuma. So not far from where the women were, these two elderly men, because of their advanced age, they were defending at the rear. But then towards the end of the battle, the one says to the other, the two elderly men are speaking to each other, saying, why are we waiting right at the back here? We're not part of the action. And we don't have much of our life left. Why don't we also go in and participate and help the Muslims? The mushrikeen are so many, the non-believers are so many, we need to help the Muslims. Let's not just stay here. And both of them agreed. And they said, not much of life is left. At least we can spend this sacrifice for Allah's deen. And they both go forward. And they plunge into the battlefield. Thabit bin Waqsh, an elderly man, Sahabi, Allah gave him martyrdom. And the mushrikeen killed him. As for Yaman, the father of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, some Muslimin spotted him, not realizing that he was on the side of the Muslims. And the Muslim swords struck him. And Hudhayfa spotted his father being struck at, and he screamed out, "Abi, Abi, my father, my father." But before anyone heard him, it was too late. And the old man, the Sahabi, he falls down. Shaheed passed away. Hudhayfa was hurt, but he said, "May Allah forgive you. He is most merciful. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ." Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw this character in Hudhayfa. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam offered Hudhayfa to pay him the blood money in lieu of losing his father, because the wrong sword struck his father and it was a complete mistake. It was not intentional at all. Hudhayfa said, "Oh Allah's Nabi, I make you witness that my father's blood money, I give it as charity to the believer. So I don't want anything for that." And like this, he grew a great proximity to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah's Nabi saw his qualities and saw his beauty, saw the internal beauty of this individual, of this Sahabi. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a master in analyzing his men. He knew each one's intent. He knew each one's quality, each one's fiber. And every one of them had the best of fiber and the best of qualities. In Hudhayfa, Allah's Nabi saw so many beautiful qualities. Scholars explain, he had رَكَاءٌ ثَرْثٌ يُسْعِفُهُ فِي حَلِّ الْمُعْضِلَاتِ, such qualities, such rare intellect that would assist him in solving all problems. وَبَدِيهَةٌ مُطَوِعَةٌ, and he had such wit, and wit meaning he would be able to do things at the right time. تُلَبِّيهِ كُلَّمَا دَعَاهَا, that would come to the fore whenever he needed that wit. And he had a quality of amanat dari, that he would keep secrets. And if he kept a secret, no one could penetrate that secret. It would never be divulged to anyone at all. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew each one's quality. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's quality. And that's why he is that one Sahabi that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed him. This was much later during the Medinan period. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam informed him the names of the Munafiqeen. The Munafiqeen in Medina, who were hypocrites, who were not Muslim. Outwardly they acted like Muslim, but internally they were enemies of Islam, and their purpose was to destroy Islam or hurt the Muslims from within. This Sahabi, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, was the only Sahabi who was given those names. Allah's Nabi informed him. And he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was actually appointed that he should watch them and see any plans that they are making, any moves they are making towards harming the deen and harming the Muslims. And he was given the title Sahibu Sirri Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the confidant, the man who would keep the secrets of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was on the occasion of Khandaq. Khandaq, when Khandaq took place, the Battle of the Trench, where the Jews of Khaybar traveled to Mecca, and they convinced the Meccans that now we have to eradicate the Muslims. Then they went to Ghatfan, and they convinced the Bedouin Arabs there. So a large army of 12,000 men marched to Medina Munawwara, and their plan was to eradicate the Muslims and Islam. At this time, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard of this army coming. They were not giving up. They were coming with full force, with everything they had. Jews from Khaybar, one army. Meccans, on the other hand. And Ghatfan, on the other hand. Strong, well, armed. And they're coming. They're coming towards Medina Munawwara, marching towards Medina Munawwara. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set his Sahaba down and made this mashura. And they decided that we're going to dig this trench. This was the opinion of Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu, and they started digging this trench. And it was such a beautiful maneuver that actually shocked the Arabs. When they had reached the outskirts of Medina and they saw this huge trench around Medina Munawwara, except those portions that were surrounded by mountains, because an army can't come by a mountain. And if they do, there were guards there. And there were Muslims guarding on the inner portion of Medina, from behind certain pedestals guarding these trenches, because they mustn't dig bridges into the trenches and still come through. The Muslims had to be defending these trenches all the time. And days went by like this. And now this was actually a battle now of pressure. Who's going to give up first? So it wasn't actually too much of a physical battle on this occasion of Khandaq. Quran speaks of this. The commentary of the battle of Khandaq comes in Surah Al-Ahzab, the chapter on Ahzab, the confederates, meaning all the troops and armies unified against the Muslims. That comes in the 22nd juz of the Quran al-Kareem. This detail comes there, that how challenging it was for the Muslims also. It was so cold. It was actually scary. It was dark. And Allah Ta'ala speaks of the comments the munafiqeen were making, that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making so many promises, but here we can't even go relieve ourselves properly. And Allah Ta'ala speaks of the comments of the believers, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا. It only increased them in iman. The iman was so strong. To such an extent that the munafiqeen were asking permission, allow us to go home. And they were leaving their posts. So it was a very, very difficult battle with a lot of pressure. And what added to the pressure was, from the Jewish tribes living in Medina, two tribes, there were three, two were already banished. There was one left, the Banu Qurayza. This tribe was still in Medina, because they were allies of the Muslims. But what happened was, the Jews of Khaybar came and convinced them to join the allies outside Medina. But they must help from inside, and then they will crush the Muslims, from inside and from outside. And the worst part is when the Jews inside Medina supported those non-believers outside Medina to crush the Muslims from both sides. So the plan was they're going to attack from inside, and whilst the Muslims are occupied fighting the Jews inside, these outside will cover those bridges, those trenches, and come into Medina and eradicate the Muslims. This was their plan. And Allah helped the Muslims. When Allah gave hidayah to a man by the name of Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud, inshallah, we will discuss the hidayat, how Allah gave this man hidayat, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud, who was the means of saving the Muslims in this battle of the trench. But now we are discussing Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. Now it was very, very cold. It was very, very difficult. Allah helped the Muslims against the Banu Qurayza tribe, which we will discuss in the coming week, inshallah. But now, this Sahabi, Hudhayfa, it was cold, it was dark. Allah's Nabi asked the Sahaba, who is ready for this great task? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, it was so cold. I had one kurta that was so small, it was just covering my knees. It was so cold, I was freezing. And because of the severe, bitter cold weather, we were actually reclining towards the ground because of the cold weather. And actually this kurta that I had was actually my wife's shawl, I had nothing else. I was actually wrapping myself with that. And Allah's Nabi said, Hudhayfa. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, Allah's Nabi called me. I had to get up. Even though it was cold, I got up. And Allah's Nabi, I said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. Yes, O Nabi of Allah. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, it's so cold, but Allah's Nabi called me. I have to respond to the call of Allah's Nabi. So I said, Naam ya Rasulallah. Allah's Nabi said, Hudhayfa, go into the enemy's ranks. You know, sneak into their lines and get information for me. وَأْتِنِي بِخَبَرِي. And oh Hudhayfa, just do what I told you. Don't do anything more. I went. He says, I was very scared and I was very cold. Allah's Nabi made dua for me. And the du'as of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what helped me. And taking the task of deen is what helped me. He says, as I got into this taqaza, this responsibility of deen, this task of deen, all the coldness that was in my body was now removed. I didn't feel cold any longer. And then Allah's Nabi called me back and said, Hudhayfa, remember what I told you. Go bring information, don't do anything more. La tuhdithanna fil qawmi shay'an. Don't bring any other idea. Just go bring the information and come back. Not anything more. I went. It was dark. I sneaked out of the trench from some mountain region. It was possible for one or two people to sneak in or out. But if the army is on the outside and one or two people come in, there's people inside defending, so that won't make much of a difference. But Yana Hudhayfa sneaks out without anybody knowing, and he acted like one of them. And then he's amongst them, and Abu Sufyan gets up to render some words to everyone, and he says to his men, O Quraysh, I have something to say, and I fear that it's going to reach Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So make sure every one of you see who's next to him. Hudhayfa says, I was now in shock. I grabbed the hand of the man next to me. Before he could ask me, I asked him, who are you? He said, so and so, you don't know me? So I said, okay, fine. And then Abu Sufyan made his announcement. So Allah helped Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu in that moment, because if he had to say who he was, his life would end there and then. But he asked before he was asked. And Allah saved him from the next man asking him. Because when you serve Allah's deen, Allah's help is with you. And Abu Sufyan makes the announcement. Now, this is not the place to stay, he says. مَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ بِدَارِ قَرَارٍ There's no ability to stay here. Our conveyances are dying. It's too cold. Banu Qurayza has now forsaken us. Inshallah, in the coming week, we'll discuss how Banu Qurayza had forsaken them under the life of another man, Nu'aym. Nu'aym. And also, it's very, very cold. So Abu Sufyan announces, let's all of us depart. And he gets up, goes to his camel, unties its reins and its ropes, and he sits onto it, and he departs. Hudhayfa says, now is my chance. If I finish off Abu Sufyan, their leader is finished, then all of these people will be finished once you finish off their leader. I just then remembered the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That, oh Hudhayfa, just do what I told you. Bring for me information, nothing more. لولا أن رسول الله أمرني ألا أحدث شيئا حتى أتأتيه لقتلته بسهم. I would have actually killed him there and then in that battle. But because of the instruction of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, obedience, he leaves his arrow and he heads back. He says, when I returned, I find Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم in salah. And he was, while he was performing salah, he saw me completed, he brought me near him, and he had this little shawl, he put a portion of it onto me, and I informed him the full kargozari. فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ الْخَبَرَ And he was so happy. He praised Allah and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hudhayfa says, then after that I felt cold again. So we learn great lessons here in this incident of Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu. One is, my respected listeners, the importance of obedience. And number two is, when we take on a task for deen, any taqaza, any responsibility, any taqaza of deen, if we take it on, we gain Allah's special help. We get the special help of Allah Ta'ala when we take on a responsibility to do something for the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allah gives us special nusrat. Allah gives us special rahmat. Allah gives us special help. Like Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he was feeling so cold, bitterly cold. As soon as he took on the task, he felt warmth, because that was the barakat of the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala with you when you take the task of Allah's deen. So sometimes you are given a responsibility for deen, take the task. Allah will help you. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, throughout his life, he was entrusted regarding many, many matters. Even the names of the munafiqeen, as we said. Because during the time of the Khulafa Rashideen, like Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu would watch Hudhayfa. If any person passed away, if Hudhayfa attended the janazah, Umar radiallahu anhu would perform the janazah namaz. If Hudhayfa was not there for that person's janazah, Umar radiallahu anhu would make some excuse and he would depart. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu anhu asked Hudhayfa, is there any munafiq amongst my governors? Hudhayfa said, no, I won't tell you. I won't mention anyone to you. So Umar says, okay, tell me how many. So he says, there is one. Tell me who is he? I can't tell you who. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, but Umar was so wise, actually he deposed the same person without Hudhayfa telling him the actual name, because of Umar radiallahu anhu's insight as well. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu strove many, many times in Allah's path. He was under Nu'man bin Muqarrin in Persia, and Nu'man bin Muqarrin radiallahu anhu became shaheed in the battle of Nihawand. So it was Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu who took the banner, and then he went further into other regions, Dinawar, Hamadan, Ray, and all these regions became Muslim through Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's efforts. And he made great qurbani and sacrifice in guiding the ummah towards the Qur'an. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu spent his life with great consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. He would always worry. He would always fear. He would always have this consciousness, even though he did so much for Allah Ta'ala's deen. He would give such wonderful advices. In the Hayatul Sahaba, the volume 3, there's a chapter called the Mawa'idh, the advices the Sahaba used to give. And among those advices, you'll find the advices of Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala. It's quite amazing where he encourages how to stay away from fitnas, how to stay away from sins. Beautiful, beautiful advices. Actually, we should read this, the Hayat al-Sahaba of Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullahi. Beautiful ahadith there. In one report, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, there's four types of hearts. The one heart is qalbun aghlaf, a heart that is sealed. And that is the heart of the disbeliever. And the other heart is qalbun musfah, the heart that is two-faced, a two-faced heart, a two-sided heart. And that is the heart of the munafiq, this side sometimes, that side sometimes. And the third heart is the heart that is clear, qalbun ajrad, a clear heart that has a lamp inside that is bright and effulgent. And that is the heart of a mu'min. And the fourth heart is the heart that has nifaq and iman. He has iman, but he has some hypocrisy there, hypocritical qualities of nifaq. And now there's a fight in that heart between the two, iman and nifaq. So, فَمَثَلُ الْإِيمَانِ كَمَثَلِ شَجَرَةٍ. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, in explaining the fourth heart, the parable of iman in that heart is like a tree that is strengthened with water, beautiful, sweet water, and that tree becomes, you know, beautiful. And the parable of nifaq in that heart is like this blister. And now it gets strengthened with sins and gunas, and then it gets filled with blood and pus. So whichever one is reinforced more, that one will triumphant, and that one will conquer. فَأَيُّهُمَا غَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ غَلَبَ. So these beautiful reports come in the Hayat al-Sahaba. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّ الْفِتْنَةَ تُعْرَضُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ. Challenges, fitnas, temptations will be offered and presented to the heart. And any heart, any person who accepts that guna, that temptation, that sin, that opportunity to do wrong, that temptation towards haram, every sin that is perpetrated, then a black spot is instilled in that heart. And when a person refuses those fitnas, those temptations, those wrongs, a white, beautiful spot is now instilled in that heart. And then, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, if you want to see the condition of your heart, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَعْلَمَ أَصَابَتْهُ الْفِتْنَةُ أَمْ لَا فَلْيَنْظُرْ. If you want a thermometer to test the condition of your heart, if you are affected by the fitnas and the trials out there, he says, then search your heart. If what is haram, you consider it to be halal, and vice versa. Something is prohibited by Allah, but you somehow want to legalize it because of your whims and fancy. That means your heart is now afflicted by the fitnas and the trials of the world. So, beautiful advices like this. Amongst his beautiful words, he says, "Mal khamru sirfan li adhhaba bi uqul ar-rijal min al-fitna." He says, even pure wine cannot remove the minds of men, like how fitnas, trials, and temptations can remove the intellect and the mind of people. That's why we have to remain and connect ourselves to the environment of iman and yaqeen and deen. So our iman remains strong. Our iman becomes strong that it can triumph and becomes and will not be affected by any of the fitnas around us. Like one person eats something and he becomes ill, and another eats the same thing and he doesn't. What happens is sometimes, you know, when the digestive system or when the system inside the body is strong, the vitamins inside the body is strong, he will not take effect from those certain germs. In the same way, the condition of our iman. If we strengthen our iman in the times of fitna and fasad, Allah will protect us and we will remain firm. And what will help us to protect our iman is in the environment of the masjid, us being connected to masjid, bringing others to masjid. One report of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he says, لَيْسَ خَيْرُكُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الدُّنْيَا لِلْآخِرَةِ وَلِلَّذِينَ يَتْرُكُونَ الْآخِرَةَ لِلْدُّنْيَا وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتَنَاوَلُونَ مِنْ كُلِّنْ. He says, the best is not he who leaves the world for the akhirah. No world at all, only akhirah. Or no akhirah at all, only dunya. Obviously, leaving the akhirah, only dunya, is completely bad. Leaving the dunya only for akhirah is better. Then Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, but in the times of fitna and so forth, we have to do both. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتَنَاوَلُونَ مِنْ كُلِّنْ. Meaning, this time where we earn halal, rizq and rosy and sustenance, and we have to take our time for Allah's deen, for our akhirah, and for the works of the year after. So we have to do both. Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه says we must take our time to do both. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتَنَاوَلُونَ مِنْ كُلِّنْ. So we learn from there that we earn to provide for our families, to provide for our neighbors, to help the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we take our time for the deen of Allah ta'ala. So we do both. Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه lived such a beautiful life, serving Allah ta'ala's deen. And throughout his life, he was worried. Oh Allah, you saved me from the fire of Jahannam. Look at the consciousness of these people and their worry of the year after. The worry of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. When the pangs of death became severe, his students came around him. It was late at night. He asked them, what time is it now? They said, it's almost Fajr. He said, A'udhu billahi min sabahin yughdi bi ila an-nar. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from such a morning in which I would be led to the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. Then he asked them, you brought kafan for me? They said, yes. He said, don't use expensive kafan for me, because if my condition is good before Allah, Allah will replace me with much better. And if my condition is bad, even that beautiful kafan will be wrenched and snatched from me. And then he would say, as he was leaving, oh Allah, you know, I loved poverty in this world. I preferred it to richness and wealth. I preferred humility over honor and pomp and glory. And I prefer death because I have to meet you over this worldly life. And when Malakul Maut came to him to take his soul, he said, Habibun ja'a ala shawq. My beloved, Maut is my beloved. It has come, but I'm very, very happy to leave and meet my Allah. La aflaha man nadima. He who regrets that meeting with Allah, how can he find prosperity and success? Yeah, he's actually happy to leave this world. He's actually happy to leave this world, and this was the condition of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Like in Surah Al-Rahman, when Allah reminds us of His favors, in Surah Al-Rahman, the verse of the Quran, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, is repeated 31 times. For every favor, Allah reminds us. Or after Allah reminds us of a favor, Allah says, which of my favors can you, insan and jinnat, which of my favors can you all deny? And among the favors of Allah in this chapter is death. Allah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Every one of you will definitely perish. And only Allah is everlasting and ever living. And Allah will remain forever. Then Allah reminds us, which of my favors can you deny? Scholars beautifully explain, how is mort, death, leaving this world, a favor of Allah Ta'ala? Because that is the bridge that unites the lover with his beloved. So in his entire life, Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه spent pleasing Allah Ta'ala, and then he passed away, leaving this world. There is one amazing incident in this Kitab, Pearls from the Path. He explains this incident here, that in the year 1929, King Faisal of Iraq saw a dream in which he was advised by two Sahaba رضي الله عنه, Hudhayfa bin Yaman and Abdullah bin Jabir. So these Sahaba are advising him, please move our graves, because the water of the Tigris River is seeping into the graves. So the king commanded that an area between the graves and the river be dug open to ascertain the truth of the matter. They, however, found no sign of water in the graves. The king therefore dismissed the dream. But the king saw the dream a number of times again, and it began to worry him. He gathered the ulama of Iraq and narrated his dream to them. One of the ulama present there mentioned that he too had the same dream. After deliberation and consultation, it was decided that the graves of these two great Sahaba be opened. If water was indeed seeping into their graves, then the bodies would have to be moved to a new location. As it was the first time in the history of Islam, that the graves of Sahaba were to be opened under such circumstances, this government now made elaborate preparations for this momentous event. A date was decided upon, and it was publicized accordingly, so that people could attend. Initially, the date was close to the period of Hajj. When the news reached Makkah and Medina, people who were on Hajj requested that the date be reset for a later time, so that they could attend as well. The event was then reset to a later date. Many people from Iraq and other areas arrived on the stipulated date, and the graves were opened. Amazingly, after 13 centuries, their bodies were completely fresh and intact. A non-Muslim eye specialist who witnessed the proceedings confirmed that the special glow, which normally disappears a few moments after a person dies, was still noticeable in the eyes of both the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, Hudhayfa bin Yaman and Abdullah bin Jabir. On seeing this, he also accepted Islam. An area close to the grave of Salman Farisi, radiallahu anhu, was prepared. The bodies were raised from the grave and moved to their new abodes of rest. Many people present were fortunate enough to assist in carrying the blessed bodies to their respective graves. Many non-Muslims who witnessed this miracle accepted Islam. So Allah Ta'ala is so great. This is Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, with beautiful, pure lives, Allah Ta'ala protects them. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to give us the Allah give us the love of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and may Allah give us that zest and that talab and that heart to take deen to heart and impart it to mankind. Jazakumullahu khair. Let us recite three quls for this great Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya.